a life, only the appearance of a change. He is really an angel of darkness and in content, and is content to appear only as an angel of light. The scriptures carry the thought of the false angels of light over to Satan's associated angels. They too only appear as angels of light, while really remaining truly angels of darkness. Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 and 10, that Satan's power and signs and lying wonders exercised with all deceivableness of unrighteous extend to those under his influence. The devil's power, dishonesty, and deceit of the people is referred to as that of a sorcerer producing a child of the devil full of subtlety and mischief. Satan, joined by the consortium of evil angels, is a prince over his own household, as in Ephesians 2:2 and 1 Peter 2:4, or 2 Peter 2:4, excuse me. The great organizations of Christendom are his masterworks of deceit. He has put the administration of its various religious, political, economic, and social institutions under the authority of his evil angels, as noted, suggested in Jude 6. The apostle tells us that Satan's disciples are confined in chains of darkness. Satan's superior control through the use of chains of darkness has kept the institutions loyal to his designs by keeping his evil angels loyal to his designs. Satan's superior control through the chains of darkness has kept the institutions this way. And the chains of Jude 6 are translated from the Greek word desmos, meaning bonds. The close association of dio, meaning binding or restraint, in Revelations 20, verses 2, and desmos, meaning chains in Jude 6, emphasize the restraint of the victim, though in both cases, the restraint alone does not mean immobilization. In the Revelation scripture, the complete immobilization is referred to by the abyss condition. Therefore, we see that Satan's power is represented by darkness and is literally deceit and dishonesty in its various forms, ignorance, even within his own household. However, as great as Satan's power is, it is not supreme. The scriptures do record our need to be armed with the righteousness of God and exercise it as our faith, Ephesians 6, 11 and 12, and 1 John 5, 4. And in so doing, we will be free of the power of the evil one. Satan's power has always been restrained from doing injury to the new creation. Jesus reassures us of this in John 14, 30, where he tells us that the prince of this world has nothing in him. Paul also warns us that we wrestle not with just flesh and blood, but with Satan and his minions, to be victorious if we keep on the whole armor of God. And we are delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Thus we see that Satan held virtually complete power over the people of the world, the nations. But when it comes to the power over the church, he is deficient because of Jesus' righteousness and our growth in the truth, the knowledge of the truth, which is the light that destroys his darkness. In revealing Satan's power, we know three conditions of his restraint. First of all, he is restrained by God's power. Secondly, he is restrained at God's time and at God's discretion. And thirdly, by our use of the truth, as may have been specified. We recall the experience that Job had due to his faith in the Lord and Satan's jealousy of that faith. God's permission to Satan included the restraint of Satan's power. God did not give Satan the permission to take Job's life. Here, God literally restrained Satan's power. Just how he did it, we don't know. But we do know that his restraint was sure because Job's life was saved. Satan's power is also restrained by Jesus and the church using the same power. And the scriptures tell us that both use the power to destroy sin, symbolism of light, destroying darkness. In Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11, we learn about Jesus rejecting Satan's influence or restraining his power by a thus saith the Lord. Jesus' use of the truth. And in 1 John 3:8-12, the Apostle John is telling us that Jesus' power destroys the works of the devil. The Apostle Paul emphasizes the restraining of Satan's power over even the weak ones in the truth, because the power of the Holy Spirit in Brother Timothy was strong enough to recover the weak out of the snares of the devil. In Revelation 12:9-12, the Apostle John sees the Christian overcoming Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. Again, Satan's power is thwarted by the greater power of Jesus' sacrifice and the power of the truth to overcome evil of every kind. 1 Peter 5:8-9, the Apostle tells us to resist the devil by steadfastness in the faith. Again, the devil's power is restrained by the truth and its faithful use. Our Lord had a very important experience with the scribes and Pharisees when they accused him of casting out devils by Beelzebub. The same experience is recorded in Mark 3:22-27, Matthew 12:22-30, and Luke 11:14-26. Reading these passages gives us an important insight into the relationship of Jesus and Satan's power. The element of time is clearly shown as a vital part of their relationship, and the delay of Jesus to exercise his power over Satan is in itself a special power. In reading the passage in Luke, we note several points. First, Satan is not casting out himself when his scheme is failing. Second, the casting out of demons indicates the exercise of greater strength than Satan's. For if he seemed to rise against himself, it means his schemes are failing and his defeat is near. Also, the Lord said again that Satan's empire would be near its end when his house was divided. And he stressed Satan's fall by saying that when Satan's kingdom was divided, it would mean its final collapse. Jesus established the points of Satan's loss of power in three different ways. It must be very important for us to understand for our Lord did repeat it three different times. After the emphasis of three references, then Jesus explains that in order to break up Satan's house, he, Satan, must first be restrained or bound. The word here for bind is the Greek word deo, meaning to bind, as we had noted earlier, to fasten or tie, and thus to restrain, just as the master of the dog would enter the compound and put the dog on the leash. Then Jesus explains that the binding would occur as a surprise, that it would be done by one who was stronger than Satan and one who would have the authority as well as the power to restrain him. And then, to make the timing of the binding very clear to us, Jesus said that before the binding would occur, the spoiling of Satan's goods could not occur. It is important to note here something that Jesus did not say. Jesus said that he would restrain or bind Satan, restrain his power. But he did not say that we could recognize the restraint of Satan, the binding of Satan, by the lessening of evil in the world. He said that we could recognize the restraint by the dividing of Satan's kingdom and his house. The lessening of evil would have been an obvious sign of the dividing of Satan's house, if it had been a valid sign. But we believe the fall of Satan's kingdom and house means greater evils than when Satan was in complete and full control, not less evil. at least not at the beginning of that finding. The Luke passage adds a portion of Jesus' advice not included in the other passages. Verses 23 to 26 of Luke 11 seem to allude to Satan's minions of evil angels who revolt from Satan's power and now, for their own evil purposes, start using that part of Satan's empire they formerly controlled for their evil prince, but now for their own behalf. They were really doing in that passage to Satan exactly what Satan did to God in the Garden of Eden. Satan was put in charge of the garden, we believe, and he thought, well, I'll take it to myself because God doesn't have all the control that he might need. And now that Satan doesn't have all the control that he previously had, his evil angels are revolting against him and taking to themselves evil power. And the condition of the world as a result of that activity is worse than it was when Satan was in complete control. In both cases, their control is against Jesus, in verse 23. But when they control the evil institution on their own benefit rather than Satan's, the evil seems to be uncontrolled. Seems to be uncontrolled. Actually, it's not, because Jesus is controlling or restraining Satan and therefore precipitating the disorder in Satan's own house. And though it seems to be out of control, actually Jesus is very much in control. It also seems to degenerate to an even lower level than when things were under Satan's complete control. Recognizing then that before the disintegration of Satan's empire can start, Jesus must have begun his restraint over the evil one, let us examine some scriptures concerning binding where the Greek word dio is used. In Matthew 16:19, our Lord commissioned Peter with the power to restrain or loose, as he was directed by the Holy Spirit in promoting the kingdom message. He told Peter that his actions would be recognized and honored in heaven, and we see Peter explaining the freedom from the law and the liberty and of bondage in Christ, not only to the Jews, but also eventually to the Gentiles. Paul was bound in the Spirit to go to Jerusalem in Acts 20:22. A wife is bound to her husband in Romans 7:2 by the law until her husband dies. In Luke 13:16, the beloved physician tells us that Satan bound a woman to her infirmities. There are many other general references of binding. They, as these, refer to restraint in some manner or form, and to a greater or less, but not necessarily specified, degree. As in the case of the married woman, she was to reserve certain rights to her husband only, but that the law did not prescribe that she had no rights of her own, neither did it bind her onto her husband's back, so that everywhere he went, she went. It did not incapacitate her as a person by binding her to her husband. The binding in each of these uses of dio refers to a definite restraint of the one bound, but it does not refer to the absolute incapacitation of the individual. Now let's consider the binding of Satan in the context of what we've already considered here. First, we recognize that the parable that Jesus gave about the binding of the strong man refers to the same binding as in Revelations 21:3. We know that there is only one binding of Satan by Jesus because there is only one destruction here. Secondly, we recognize that the act of binding Satan began very early in our Lord's second presence, Matthew 24:43. For if Satan had realized our Lord's presence, he would have avoided his own binding and consequent spoiling of his goods and house. Thirdly, Satan's binding is symbolic. Again, Revelations 1:1, and restraint, and represents the restraint in some form, symbolized by the chain. The chain represents the restraining force must include more than one thing. We don't know the actual description of everything used to restrain Satan as a spirit being, but whatever it is, it binds Satan to permit the collapse of his empire. As Brother Russell points out, the chain includes the truth. We have seen references of the truth being used to restrain Satan. Other references of its power are symbolized in Isaiah 27:1, Psalm 74:13-14, 2 Thessalonians 2:6-10. As these symbols of the sword, strength, and brightness of his presence, Jesus uses the truth to destroy Satan's power. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 refers to the shout of the archangel, as in Daniel 12:1, in establishing the kingdom of righteousness to replace Satan's empire. And in Isaiah 42:13-16, prophesies that the Lord will use jealousy, pain, discomfort, neglect, and starvation, and disclosure of the truth as parts of the chain to keep Satan from stopping the destruction of his house and his goods. These are all things that our minds can grasp as tools, or, as the Revelator puts it, chains, which the Lord uses to restrain Satan's power. There are probably other restraints of a strictly spiritual nature which our natural minds would find difficult, if not impossible, to comprehend. We do not know what they are, but leave it with the Lord to apply them as he sees the need. The fourth consideration about blinding is that it results in a divided satanic house that falls. It results in the evil angels working against Satan and his stratagem, Christendom, in its orderly structure. It appears reasonable to view the evil angels as using parts of Satan's goods or his house, rather, to their own selfish purposes, now opposing Satan as well as Jesus. Nihilism, communism, socialism, humanism, the clergy challenging their hierarchical authority, people questioning all religions as other forms of authority, wanting more and more education, only to promote the decrease of faith in God and the imbalance of the technological achievement versus the sociological values. These continue to disrupt the orderliness of Satan's empire, precipitating an evil and a chaotic revolution and the empire's final destruction. The structure of society is collapsing in disarray. So the Chester Sunbaum, in a talk on the Satan's House Divided, used to illustrate the chaos by a set of sticks. While Satan was in absolute control, the sticks were all in parallel form. When he was losing control in the early part of his binding, the sticks were out of parallel. And when he was completely in the abyss, the sticks were on the floor, all in disarray. The shouts of liberty, to be free of Satan's burdens, are being used by humanity to promote chaos and for the eventual destruction of Satan's empire, though they do not recognize that that is the ultimate objective. The false claims issued from the evil organizations only to draw them to the battle of Armageddon, as noted in Revelation 16. Zechariah 8:10, in Rotherham's translation, tells of the time when God looses every man's hand against his neighbor. Then the four winds of Revelation loose, after the church is complete, will turn men to yearn for the higher authority. Then the binding's early stages, just enough restraint to bring chaos within Satan's house, will have served its purpose and will completely enclose God's arch enemy in the bottomless pit, where he will have no influence of deception anymore. That is the time, of course, when Jesus will have suppressed all evil, and all the evil angels too, and all men are drawn to Christ, in John 12:32. It seems very important to recognize the difference between just the binding or restraint of Satan and a complete binding and absolute confinement in the bottomless pit. The latter is completely restrictive, while the former is restrictive only to the extent that it serves the Lord's purposes. Again, the dog on the leash. Once he's put on a leash, get him into a kennel and close the door on him. But between the time the master puts him on a leash and he puts him in the door, his empire disintegrates gradually. Now, to summarize, Satan's binding of 1,000 years began at the Lord's second presence, and the binding started then, is continuing progressively more restrictive until he is more fully restrained, being placed in the bottomless pit. Sin is everywhere, worse than before. Therefore, it means that he is more active, but less in control of the evil angels, who are now also active on their own behalf. Jesus finds this the most efficient way of destroying Satan's empire. The binding of Satan exposes his power of error, but it does not eliminate it, and it does not eliminate all sin. The destruction of the nations and institutions is the restraint of their lives and methods. By the truth and the righteous methods, and the use of evil against evil, as in the revolution of Satan's house. The increased activity of Satan, of sin in Satan's chaotic empire, means that Satan is being bound, rather than indicating that he isn't bound. The binding of Satan permits the destruction of his house rather than the preservation of it. As applied in our own lives, this truth should make us the more rejoicing Christians, that we may lift up our heads as we see these things coming to pass. Luke 21:28. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Isaiah 52:7-12. For Satan's empire is being destroyed by the King, our Lord, whose right it is. May the Lord bless our study of this subject so that we may be encouraged as we see the stately steppings of our God in the full establishment of his kingdom.
Thank you, Brother Bob, for blessing very kindly with us many things. Think about during these days of the Lord's presence. We're going to close with singing hymn 282. 282.
Thank you.
assemble again to hear this course by Brother Burns.
Our gracious and our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the understanding of Thy plan and the gift of Thy Son. We thank Thee for an understanding of the chaos and the confusion and the troubles and fears that have come upon the world, and know the brightness of Thy kingdom hope. We ask that we may be more stirred to be faithful to Thee and rejoice in Thy truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.